Good morning, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I am Joyanne Haig, and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is Dennis Johnson. The number to call, 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, what's on my mind? Last night, I watched the Ideas Forum online. This was part of the We Gathering 2020 initiative, and I saw a lot of young people coming forward and speaking to the Prime Minister and sharing their ideas. And I heard a lot of really fantastic ideas, and we're hopeful that the ideas go from an idea to an action plan. But this morning, I'm hopeful that your contributions will include some of your ideas for what you want for a better Barbados. What do you want to see happen? What is your wish list? For me, I can tell you, number one, I would like to see more character building in primary schools than career building in schools, period. Careers are important, of course, but in your life, you're not going to be measured by how many cars you had and how many degrees you have. Your life is really going to be measured, in my humble opinion, by your character, by your greatness. And your greatness doesn't mean that you have to be a politician and you have to be well known. That's about fame, and fame fades. But your greatness is determined by your service and your character. And that, for me, would be the number one wish for my country, to make sure that the future, the attitudes change, that we get along and we understand and we empathize and we move forward. So that's number one. Number two, I would like to see, and this is personal, of course, I would like to see semi-supervised housing for adults with disabilities, equivalent to a gated community, if you can put it that way, where they are protected, they have a recreation center, they can go to work, and life can be a little bit more productive, and they can live their best life by putting persons or allowing them to have homes. Because parents, and I certainly am one of them, that I worry when God calls you home, you worry about who will look after your child. And that's a real thought. And I know other parents, that's our biggest fear. And sometimes, even though this may sound a little inhumane, we often say that your child should bury you. But when you have a child with a disability, sometimes you ask yourself, God, you know, either take us together or take the child first. And if you're not in the position that I am in, for example, you may not quite understand that statement. You love your child that much that you just don't want to see anything happen, and you know that you're the rock, you're the pillar. And when you go, you worry, and you worry like crazy. So I'm hopeful that a semi-supervised housing units, gated community can be built eventually for persons with disabilities when they get older and they have their jobs and mommy and daddy, or they're old or they're no longer here. That is my wish list. And the third one, I'm hopeful that every person would have access to food, and not just the expensive food in the supermarket, but incorporate the tree planting with persons planting something in their background that can feed them. It could just be a breadfruit tree, a lime tree for drink, cherry trees for vitamin C, a banana tree, and of course my favorite, soursop, which is also very healthy to use the leaves, etc. And we could see less concrete jungles and more houses being built that you have more soil and a little bit there just for some planting. And we have to feed ourselves. So these are some of the things that I'm hopeful. So I'm putting them out there as my wish list. And I'm hopeful that when you call the program, you can obviously talk about anything you like, but I would love to hear, especially from our younger people, what is your wish list for future Barbados? Not just, well, we need a garbage pickup today. That's an immediate wish. What's your long-term plan? What is your vision for your country and for your children. What do you want? And then what steps can you take together with government to get there? This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 6 minutes after 10. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad that you're on. There's something that you and I have spoken about, and I said, I'm not going to say anything. And I hope that people, I have not heard a single person at Transport Board say anything bad about this man. He have done so much so far. I met him, and he's a very, very humble person. Very, very humble. That is why it's important to wait and see how things go. Because, you know, like a party, and that party do something, you should just criticize it. Wait and see how it goes first. It's very important that you do that. And I wish him every success. I only hope that any recommendations made by him will be carried out. Because that is where the problem I think. But disabilities, there's a disability that I don't hear anybody talking about. And the only persons who have the antidote is those persons themselves. You know what that disability is? Disability of the mind. Where people do not have the ability to think for themselves, where they don't have the ability to make their own decisions. When you make a decision and it don't turn out, I can use this as an example. All of us was a baby one time. We cracked. When we started to walk, we fell down. Did we stay down? No. You got back up. And you walk, even as an adult, sometimes you're walking, you're running a trick. Do we stay down? No. Apply that principle throughout one of life. And this place will become a better place. Learn to stand up and tell people what's on your mind. If you're wrong, you apologize. If you're right, don't care how offensive it might seem to be the other person, don't apologize. Don't. A lot of people are only adults because of what that piece of document they get from the electoral office. But when it comes to being mature, they don't have a clue. Take that away from them, that piece of plastic, they don't qualify. And I'm very serious about what I'm saying today.
Okay.
A lot of us, and it happens on both sides, because you like someone, don't care what wrong they have done, you're backing them because you don't want to offend them. The truth is an offense, but it's not a sin. I left that there for everybody to think about.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning, Miss Jade.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was sick of the country. And then I was, everything is okay.
And Max, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Jaya.
Yes, good morning.
There are three issues I would like to discuss with you this morning. Sick buildings, garbage trucks, and corruption. Now, last Tuesday, we were having a discussion about the NIS building. And you said that these persons were apprehensive about going in to refurbish sick buildings.
I said persons would be apprehensive to go into a refurbished building that made or contributed to the illness of others.
Okay. All right. You know that the Treasury building has been diagnosed as a sick building.
Again, sir, if you want to call it a sick building, if you want to bring it to an individual, let's say you have a cold versus somebody else having bronchitis and somebody else having pneumonia, the treatment, they're all sick, but the treatment is different. One will heal and one requires some smaller or cheaper treatment. Others may require some more intensive treatment, surgery, etc. So if you want to put it in that sort of category, then understand when a sick building or what they refer to as a sick building, doesn't necessarily mean you have to shut it down, demolish it. It all depends on what is happening. It depends on the symptoms, then, if you want to put it that way.
All the employees are supposed to move out from that building by the end of the month.
Okay.
So it isn't a sick building.
Sir, I can't tell you if all of them are to move up at the end of the month and your reason for the moving. So when we get that information, I can verify that. I know that some people are moving out of the building. Reasons at this point, for me, are unknown.
But you know that building is earmarked for housing.
The treasury, I believe, it's been mentioned by government that some work will be done on the treasury. The final decision, I don't think was communicated in the final decision, but again, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, I know about the NIS, the fire service, and the temporary markets. We also heard in the Prime Minister's speech about the Hyatt and the Pear and some other buildings. She didn't go on to mention all of them. She said that there are other things that she didn't mention as part of the transformation of Bridgetown.
But the Prime Minister said that the Treasury building is earmarked for housing.
I'm not saying she didn't, sir. I said I can't remember everything she listed. I just highlighted to you what I can recall.
Well, I know that is what she said.
Okay.
That is earmarked for housing. I don't see, if people cannot go into a building for 8 hours, how they are going to live in the same building for 24/7.
A good point, again, depending on the nature of what is happening in the building and can it be renovated versus something that is so deep that you may have to demolish. I don't know. Right. I don't have those details. But you have some other points? I know you said you have three.
I want to speak to you thing about garbage trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recall the number of times the Prime Minister has said that the last administration did not purchase a single bus or garbage truck?
I know that the Prime Minister and the government mentioned that there are a lot of things that weren't done in the 10 years that were not purchased. I remember the Transport Board buses.
And garbage trucks.
Well, I don't recall everything, but if you do recall that and you want to pull it from a source of a newspaper, I can probably check that too while I'm here.
That's what the Prime Minister has said. Anytime the Prime Minister speaks about garbage, he said that the last administration did not purchase a single bus or a garbage truck. Now, last Tuesday...
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying the Prime Minister did say that the administration, and she said a lot of things that they did not do.
Okay.
And I know for a fact the buses were certainly mentioned. The garbage trucks, I will have to double check to see if they made reference to what was bought and what wasn't maintained. But I know for sure she said the Transport Board buses, nothing was bought.
Now, last Tuesday when you were having the discussion with the stats man,
mm-hmm.
you pulled up something from the Nation, which you said that Minister Lowe,
correct,
former Minister Lowe,
mm-hmm.
I purchased a number of garbage
nine
trucks,
I think it was, yes.
Right. And other equipment for the SSA.
Correct.
So how come the Prime Minister is not aware of this?
I'm going to assume that your question is rhetorical. So continue. Continue.
Well, you know that the media in the States, they have taken account of the number of times that President Trump has lied. Is the media in Barbados doing a similar thing?
Again, another rhetorical question. I can tell you
I know the Prime Minister has not said it once. She has said it more than once that the last administration did not purchase a single bus or garbage truck.
And if that was indeed said, the former minister, as reported by the Nation newspaper, accurately, I believe,
purchased
in 2013, purchased nine garbage trucks, along with some other needed equipment. Did the Prime Minister say that they did not purchase anything at all, as in the SSA, in the 10 years. I do not recall if she did or did not.
So if she said that, it's incorrect.
But if she said that it didn't, it is incorrect.
Right. Okay. All right. Let me finish with that. I want to go on to corruption.
Mm-hmm.
This morning in the news, yesterday in the Nation, there was a story on the back page about this present administration employing some British firm to look into corruption over the last 10 years. Now, if this administration is so interested in integrity, why should corruption stop at the last 10 years? You wouldn't be interested in finding out where corruption took place in Barbados over the last... Yesterday, I called in on this subject. And then Maxine McKean came in and said if this administration was interested in looking at corruption, they should look at corruption the last 10 years and the 10 years before.
All right. We heard this yesterday, and Sanka was the moderator. And if you want me to weigh in, and I will, if it is, a government comes in and decides that they want to put some measures in place, and they do. Previous governments did the same thing in terms of when they were out there rallying for votes, etc., on the platform, and this is what they will do. And if they said that that's what they're going to do and they didn't do it, why then should any administration, forget B or D, come and decide to make something so retroactive that you go back 30 years, if they're saying that they're going to investigate the previous government, why is it then that the previous administration, making similar allegations, did not do the same thing? If they strongly felt that there was possible corruption by a previous administration, why did they not do anything about it? What do you say to that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Can you answer?
So you're saying because they said that they're going to investigate corruption into the last administration, and if there was corruption in the administration before the last one,
mm-hmm.
they're not interested in that.
The onus is on the current government to do that. When you inherit a government, you would inherit certain things, okay? You are going to see, and all governments do, they see possible overspending, cost overruns, and they look at these things. That's how they sort of gather support from a country when they're more or less rallying for votes. They get up on a platform and they will tell you what they can do and what the other party did. In some cases, I remember that the previous administration in 2007, when they were working towards winning the government, and they did, checks were being held up and different things were being stated and this body did this. So what I'm trying to tell you is if you made the allegations, why not then follow up what you said you found? So if it is they didn't do anything, but this administration now comes and decides, you know what, I am going to investigate you now. What's wrong with that? In other words, each government, if they want to, they can investigate the previous government because of what they inherited. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But if while they are carrying out their investigation,
mm-hmm.
they find that corruption extended beyond 10 years, what are they going to do with that evidence?
If indeed something occurred with the previous administration that started with the administration before that, and it is one specific case, then I could see where that extends beyond. But I cannot see, if you have not inherited a problem, and you, why would you go and investigate something that occurred 20 years ago if it's not connected to the current investigation that you are now pursuing?
But
it would have to be connected.
When you start an investigation,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have a timeline to say that. It's Or to say the investigation is going to
start. Sir, tell me something. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question because we didn't even think. Do you not think that the previous government should have investigated the previous government if that is what they said on the platform in terms of what they found? Yes or no? Should they have not investigated?
All things on the platform, but all these people are from the political class.
Correct. But so if one decides to do it and the other one does not.
They don't take any action against the other.
But
it's just a lot of hot air.
But that is left up to the discretion of a government. If they want to do that, then they do it. If they don't, then they don't. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't say that they should go back all these years. I am trying to say to you, the previous government, when they made similar statements, did not do it. If this government chooses to do it, then fine. If people are saying, well, you know what, go back 20 years. I don't think you need to go back 20 years unless what you are being accused of stems back to 20 years for a specific case. So you're kind of following the trail. And if the trail goes back 20 years and the statute of limitations are low, that's the other thing, then of course. But I want to thank you for your contribution. I'm sorry that you couldn't give me some ideas for making a better Barbados, but hopefully for the next time around, you can do so. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the...
Morning.
Good morning. Before you speak, ma'am, if I may, I want to make a plea to the Barbados Water Authority for Bowling Alley in Horse Hill. I'm making another plea for Welchman Hall in St. Thomas and Vault Road. Water was off since yesterday. They're asking for some help. So these are the residents, people living in St. Joseph, people living in Welchman Hall. I believe it is the people connected to the Castle Grant system, Golden Ridge Castle Grant. Water Authority, you would know who they are because the people who are actually writing to us, I'm sure the others in the surrounding districts will need some help too. Good morning, ma'am. Thank you for waiting for a few seconds until I got that out.
Yes, I waited a little while. But anyway, you know, I wish, Joanne, I mean, there's so many wishes that I have, but I wish for a safe and beautiful Barbados. And, you know, I wish that something be done to curb the lawless and senseless shooting in this country because it's really, really, really becoming overbearing. I also wish that land and houses will be more affordable so that, you know, people out there can own a little piece of this rock. Those are my mm-hmm. wishes.
So how do you think we can go about that?
You mean land and...
Both things. You know, it's okay to have a wish, but, you know, I like to hear some steps towards getting there. Even you, what you can do. What can you do to play your part, to help?
What can I do? Where the shooting is concerned, mm-hmm. you know, as I said, if you see something, you say something.
Okay.
But, you know, I think the law has to be changed first. You know, it has to be a stiffer penalty, you know, because these guys seem to be playing with the law.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, you know? I don't know how old you are, but I remember back in the days we could sleep with our bedroom windows open and parents gone out, kids running around. And trust me, we were underage. So no, there was no child care board to say you leave your children unattended because the neighbors were looking out for you. Do you think that together with more neighborhood watches, because you could be living in a neighborhood and you not from that neighborhood and somebody see you coming in. People used to call each other, you know. They used to say so-and-so went to your house. Everybody knew who went to your house if you're in there. Now, everybody's locked up. Nobody ain't looking for anybody's home, and you could be literally living next door and not know who your neighbor is.
Definitely. And you know, a lot of those older folks now, they have gone. They're, you know, younger generations moving to areas. It's a total different ball game right
now. So we should have more unity in the neighborhoods so
we
can. Yeah, I think so too. I think that can help a lot, weed out some of the, not necessarily stop crime, but at least to be more vigilant. And cameras too. I think a lot of people need to invest in cameras. It doesn't exactly stop the crime, but it can catch the perpetrator. It can assist with bringing the perpetrator to justice. It's just that we're living in new times. So the measures that we took before, back in the 70s and the 80s, we now have to use technology to help us to protect ourselves.
Yes, because, you know, we can talk and we can wish for all these things, but to have a safe country, you know, that is the most important thing. That is top of the list.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 1027. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
You know that Alvin is in a little early today because I like to listen to the program first before I comment about anything. But I call it Earth Money to protect myself. I'm hoping that you don't continue like yesterday.
Sir, with all due respect, could you please make your contribution, or I'm going to actually ask the producer to please assist me in this regard. Not when you're starting with me. You make your contribution and not make it about me. Could you make your contribution and not...
It's a deal with the program, not you directly.
Well, you started off by saying that you're going to save me.
Listen and find out where I'm going.
Oh, Alvin, come on now. This is a new year now. Come on.
Yesterday on Brass Tacks, for nearly whole program, it was said that political parties on the platform, this talk about corruption, and after the ring, this is the first time that they're going to do something. That is where I'm going. And I want
but
to
then how did my name get in there? That's where
that
you're
I'm
going.
Saying, I'm here. I say I'm here that you will not go down the same road. That is how you get involved.
Well, then wait until I go down that road. Thank you for the protection. I appreciate it. But Alvin, let's bring something.
Saying.
I want to... Could you stick a pin? This is 2020. All right? Of course, I understand your views and you are free to air them. Is there anything new? Anything different, even if it is against whatever that you would like to put on the table this morning?
What I'm saying, in 1972, Downton, when the government changed in 76, the Barbados Labour Party was talking about corruption, and then they took over the leadership in 76. They didn't just talk it. They had an inquiry into even the greatest politician ever walked this soil. Mm-hmm. And there was an inquiry called the Duffus Commission,
mm-hmm.
whereby they investigate the administration of 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Barr was investigated. I don't know if they want to lock him up or if they want to belittle him and scam him. I don't know. Then in 1994, I was in America living, but I buy a nation, I used to buy five nations a week. And there was an inquiry again into Sir Bradford Tate. That was when, that Bradford Tate issue, they only ran in 94, it ran in 99, and it was still discussed in 2007. And there was an inquiry into Bradford Tate. They didn't only talk it on the platform, they had a commission into the St. Joseph Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Joseph Hospital that millions of dollars were spent on because of the platform talk and the investigation. I believe you know the state is in, where all the money was spent, plus about near $8 million paid to lawyers investigating.
So Alvin, what you're trying to say is that this is nothing new, investigating corruption, correct? Dennis is going to come in
Joanne,
a second.
Unfortunately, I have to interrupt the caller there for a minute. We have a report from Wendy Burke on the recent shooting in Barbados, and she is online now to give us an update on that. Wendy, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Dennis. Good morning to our listeners. Well, the news I have to report this morning isn't so happy. A young man has now been shot dead at Taylor's Gap. Unfortunately, the gap is right next door to the St. Albans School. The students have been released from school. Parents and guardians are presently collecting them. The police have also set up their perimeter. In fact, it took us a while to get to you because from as far as the garden land has been cordoned off. So we actually had to come en route all the way around to Westmoreland in order to reach the school. It's a very somber mood right here at the moment. Parents are trying to calm their little ones as they're concerned as to what really happened, but the parents are here collecting their wards. Police have the area cordoned off in terms of not allowing you access to where the actual fatality took place. But somber mood pulls out, and Barbados has recorded its second homicide. And the irony of it, Dennis, is that just yesterday morning, the Minister of Home Affairs was here at this very same school, speaking to the issues of crime and encouraging residents to ensure that they don't conceal any information regarding criminal activity. So it is very ironic this morning that just around the same time he would have been addressing the students yesterday, this has happened in his constituency.
Thank you very much for that update, Wendy. And of course, I'm sure we'll hear more about this in the 12:30 edition of The Latest from Starcom Network News. That's Wendy Burke on location with the latest fatal shooting in Barbados.
Dennis, you know what is actually very sad? I remember the incident at Frederick Smith, and that ended the show. And now that information now begins this show. My condolences to the family of the deceased, and we certainly would like to hear more during The Latest. And the situation with the crime is also something that I believe that should be on all of our minds in terms of our wish for a better Barbados, because we need to have a safer Barbados. And the situation with weapons and people seeing things and not saying anything is actually going to hurt us more. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. One WhatsApper here says, before I go back to the phone lines, good morning, Madam Moderator. In response to your second caller on sick buildings, as an HVAC engineer with intimate knowledge of the old NIS building, AC designs and function, which is the primary cause for the building being sick, my professional take is that it will cost millions of dollars to rebuild an AC system that can function efficiently, not to mention the different strains of mold spores, which have now spread all over that building. He says he's surprised that it took so long to demolish the damn thing. That's basically what he says. But thanks very much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Joyanne.
Good morning.
Let me say this, huh? I would like to advise you to ignore all the negative things you may be hearing this morning, because it's only coming because of one presentation yesterday. All you need to do is to remain yourself and ignore all the other accusations that may come your way. Be yourself and be honest with yourself and call it as you see it. That's all I have to say to you.
Thank you.
Now, you had a caller who was speaking about your last administration, and he speak about this present administration carrying out some probes, some persons that come in the country, to investigate if in truth and the fact there was indeed corruption. And his point is that if they go as far as to discover there was corruption after the last 10 years, what they would do. I am saying to him that the last administration, they could not prove anything. This administration come to office because they spent 10 years, as you say, and they, up to the point of time when they come to office, they refused to carry out any sort of probe to find out indeed if there was corruption. This administration, this present one, accused them of the same thing. And they are backing up their words by trying to discover if in truth and in fact there was indeed corruption on the last administration. What is indeed wrong with that? I mean, these people need to understand that this happened under all administrations. They accused each other, and then when they come to office, not one single word. But the Prime Minister, this present Prime Minister, promised us that she would try to find out if in truth and in fact there was any wrongdoings. And she's now committed to carry out her promise that she made to the people of this country. So So I don't know how is the fast. And I will close by saying, I know Dennis may not, if he would, because he is an honest man, I know he will cut me off if I say what you have to say. But all I would say is indeed, the people of Barbados would know eventually if indeed there was corruption under any government in Barbados. I thank you.
Thank you very much for your, you've got Dennis laughing. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Go ahead. Good morning. You're on the air.
Indeed, I'm sorry to hear about another shooting. It is sad. But I call mainly about these characters who are talking now about the corruption and, you know, whether it should go back for 100 years, right? Suddenly, this supposed Democrat Labour Party seem to be and their members seem to be running scared. They don't want an investigation. Why would a government investigate itself? I would think a government would investigate another government. Right. So I don't think the BLP would set up to investigate the BLP. That would have been the job of the Democratic Party. And David Thompson, because there were outstanding warrants on their heads. Right. And I cannot remember a member of the Barbados Labour Party having to run from Barbados because of anything illegal. Right. All I'm saying, if the government suspects there's been corruption, let the investigation go ahead, and wherever the chips fall, they fall. If they don't have anything to fear, just let the investigation go ahead. Right? Where the chips fall, they fall. If everybody's proven this innocent, fine. You will once again say that the government called an inquiry and it was a waste of money. If, it, on the other hand, it finds something else, we accept that as well, whichever way it goes. But it needs to be cleared up one way or the next, whether there was corruption in this country. I thank
okay.
you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Down to Brass Tacks. Yes, go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Is that Joanne?
Yes, this is Joanne.
Hi, Joanne. It's Anthony DeSilva from the Innotech Group. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, Joanne.
Good.
This is the first time I've ever called into Brass Tacks.
Welcome.
and luckily, I've got you. Joanne, I just wanted to call to give the government a congratulation, and particularly and specifically the Prime Minister, because I saw yesterday in a heartwarming story on the Nation newspaper, an article about an ideas forum that the Prime Minister had set for last evening in St. Lucie. I can't remember exactly where. I think it was in Bentham in St. Lucie, inviting people under the regathering initiative to come and share ideas with the Prime Minister and with the government. And I thought that that warranted, not from myself, but from Barbados generally, that was a good initiative, is a good initiative. And I hope that that creates the opportunity for young Barbadians specifically who have a world of ideas that are different than ours because they're from a different generation to come and interact with the government and the Prime Minister and be part of the process.
Well, I want to share in that sentiment too with you because I watched it. I thought it was fantastic. People were very authentic. The Prime Minister was very authentic. And if we could continue that discussion with right across the country, and not only just the ideas, but to implement it, but know that you're on the air, can we now ask you what would be your wish for Barbados? What would you like to see in the future for your children?
I didn't get to actually watch it, unfortunately, but I take your word for it that it was a wonderfully interactive process between the audience and the government represented by the Prime Minister and those who else might have been there on behalf of the government. I think the wish for a lot of Barbadians and mine is not dissimilar, is that there is a transformation of Barbados, and I think that we are seeing that. I mean, the very fact that you have a forum set up where anybody can come and put forward ideas and suggest to the government how possibly it is to build a better Barbados, a better society, and improve it generally for all of us. I think that's good enough for me. I don't know about you.
Oh, well, for me too. I watched it. I saw a lot of young people coming forward, and she was actually connecting them with other people there and making sure that people connect with them, and not just to have an idea, but to make sure it comes to fruition. And I thought it was a good start. But I want to thank you, because the public hardly hears from Innotech, and to think that you've called Brass Tacks and the first time that I'm sitting in this chair, I thank you very much for that. And we hope we hear from you more often. Okay? Thank you, Anthony.
Hold on. I'm not sure you'll hear from me more often, but I felt I had to call today and congratulate you.
No.
And I've done that.
Yes.
And, maybe I'll see you at some stage in the future. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, too, Anthony. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hear from you.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Okay.